It's a KPFA morning show, 11 minutes after 8. We turn our attention to the case of U.S. Army Private Robin Long. He recently became the very first war resistor since the Vietnam War to be forcefully deported from Canada and handed over to U.S. military authorities. My guest this hour is Buff Whitman Bradley with the organization Courage to Resist, who's working very hard to educate the public about what's happening with Robin Long, as well as provide he and his family support. Good to have you on the show, Buff.
Great to be here, Amy.
Let's talk first about Robin Long's stay in Canada. Why did he make the decision to go to Canada in the first place?
Well, Robin was a self-described Army... not an Army brat exactly, but he had lots of military people in his family when he was growing up, and he just made the assumption that when he reached the appropriate age, he would be in the military as well. He said he grew up with G.I. Joes, and so he joined the Army. He was working in the Job Corps at the time and joined the Army in 2003, and believed everything he'd heard about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq and Al-Qaeda, and went in with great enthusiasm. But it began to change almost immediately when he got into basic training. The thing that was most disturbing to him was the dehumanizing of Iraqi people. He explained to me that he thought he'd gone in part to liberate and help the Iraqi people, and yet he heard all these chants about killing ragheads. And he was so disturbed by it that he talked to his sergeant. And said he didn't think it was appropriate for them to do that, that they were, this mission that they were going to be going on was to help the Iraqi people, not to dehumanize and demean them. And because of that, he was sort of singled out among the people he was training with for especially unpleasant treatment. He was tormented and singled out for extra duty and treated pretty badly. And so he decided to shut up, basically, at that time. Then he was sent to his duty station at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And when he arrived at Fort Knox, he began hearing stories from returning Iraq veterans. And the stories were so disturbing to him that he had a lot of trouble dealing with it. He heard people bragging about the kills they'd made, pulling out pictures of them standing next to folks that they'd killed, bragging about running over people with their tanks and things. And his sense of unease about what was going on in Iraq deepened. He thought he was at a non-deployable station. When he was assigned to Fort Knox, Fort Knox is a non-deployable place, and so. So it came as a great shock to him to get deployment orders. Apparently they were running short, and they picked him out of the crowd of folks there and basically told him he had a month leave to report to Fort Carson, Colorado, at the end of that month, from there to deploy to Iraq. So he took his month's leave, and on the day he was supposed to report to Fort Carson, he went AWOL. Stuck around the States for a couple of months, hiding out in various places, and then ran into a couple of people who were on their way to Canada. He hitched a ride with them and wound up in Canada in 2005.
Now, Robin Long was certainly not the first U.S. soldier to try to turn to go to Canada to escape deployment to what in essence is resisting military orders to go to Iraq. I mean, he's not the first, but he joins hundreds of other people.
Absolutely. There are hundreds of we don't have a firm count, but we know that there are at least 200 people there and probably more.
Interestingly, Robin Long, who, by the way, came on via phone on the morning show a couple months back, explored trying to stay in Canada permanently through the Canadian process of landed immigrant status. And there were a lot of Canadians who were trying to help U.S. war resistors be able to stay there. Tell me more about Robin's particular struggle to get that status, to be able to stay.
Well, Robin, like lots of the resistors who go up there, decided that Canada was the place he wanted to be. When he first arrived in Canada, he traveled all over the country and worked with, there you ran into some people who were making a documentary film and traveled with them around the country from coast to coast. He met a woman with whom he eventually had a child. So he was putting down roots in Canada, and wanted to stay. I don't know all the details of the landed immigrant process, but it's probably pretty much like it is here in terms of applying to government agencies and making a case for yourself. At the same time, he was applying for refugee status as well. So there were these things going on in parallel.
And he was making an argument to the Canadian government that he's a refugee because the war's illegal.
Yes, exactly. Canada is not involved in the war in Iraq, so they are involved in the war in Afghanistan. So the lawyers who are working with the resistors in Canada feel like there is a good case to be made for the fact that the U.S. is fighting a war that Canada is not participating in, that has not been sanctioned by the United Nations, and are also claiming that when these people return, they face persecution, and harsh treatment. So they're trying to build the cases for these resistors in those ways.
Of course, in the Vietnam War, tens of thousands of Americans went to Canada. Many stayed, and some are actually leading the charge to support war resistors in Canada.
That's right, yes.
The thing is that the Canadian government changed over the years between Vietnam War and now, has changed the rules so that it made it more difficult. And so talk a bit about the effort to support the Robin Longs in Canada, and then how he actually ended up getting extradited.
Well, we're looking at a prime minister now that couldn't be more different from Pierre Trudeau. I remember during the Vietnam War when Pierre Trudeau got on television and made this incredible speech in which he said all war resistors were welcome in Canada. And I think eventually 50,000 or more went to Canada, and many, as you say, many stayed. And now we have a prime minister who's an ally of George Bush, and doesn't support amnesty for resistors or refugee status for resistors who go to Canada. Interestingly, the opposition parties in the Canadian Parliament passed a sadly non-binding resolution that asked the government to allow these resistors to stay. But the government doesn't have to honor that resolution. In fact, in the case of Robin Long, hasn't and may not honor it in the case of other resistors as well. I think what happened with Robin is that he just went through the process. There is a fairly long process of applying for refugee status, of making your case, and once that's been turned down, you may appeal, and there's a whole series of things that you have to go through. And Robin's been there for more than 3 years, and I think he just ran through the system, and his time came. We're hoping that he'll be the last one, not just the first
one. Well, I was going to ask you, how significant is this that the Canadian government has now arrested and turned over Robin Long as the first war resistor? I mean, how significant is that? Signal that more people who are going through the same process are going to be turned over to authorities?
Well, it seems to signal that that's the case, although we can't really be sure until it happens. We do know that the majority of Canadians are in favor of letting resistors stay in that country. So we don't know how much Harper listens to the polls and tries to pay attention to his constituents. But we're hopeful that that the Canadian public will have some impact on this situation.
Buff Whitman-Bradley is with the organization Courage to Resist, who's working directly with Robin Long. Of course, he's now being held in El Paso County Jail near Colorado Springs, Colorado, awaiting military court-martial. Talk about the charges that the government is levying or likely to levy against him, and what his future looks like, given that he's now been forcibly removed from Canada.
He's been charged with desertion with no intention to return, and the maximum sentence, I believe, for that is 3 years. So he does face 3 years in prison.
It used to be desertion's maximum charge was death.
Yeah, well,
they have a special courts martial.
Well, he didn't desert from a combat zone. He deserted before he was in Iraq. I think that there are special circumstances when you desert from a combat zone. I'm not that familiar with military law, but I know that in Robin's case, he faces 3 years in prison. He's been in jail now for a few months in Colorado, he has two good lawyers working with him, both of whom he likes very much. I've talked with him on the phone a few times recently. His civilian lawyer is James Branham, who is with the Military Task Force of the National Lawyers Guild, and his, I don't know the name of his military lawyer, but he likes Branham. He calls Branham awesome, and he says his military lawyer is a smart cookie, and so he feels like he has a very good team working with him. Now, I'm sure there's lots of negotiating going on right now as well, so and we don't know the details of that.
But likely to face a courts martial
early September.
In early September. Is he sitting in a cell all day? How is his spirits?
Robin is the most amazing young man. His spirits are, it couldn't be in better shape. He's excited about the people that he's met inside. He meets other soldiers as well. The El Paso County Jail serves as the brig, basically, for Fort Carson.
But he's in a county jail. He's probably in an orange jumpsuit.
He's wearing, but he's in a pod, actually. He's in a pod with seven other men. It may be one of those panopticons where they put people in pods. Anyhow, he feels very positive about his lawyers. And I asked him if he had any second thoughts about what he's done the other day, and he said he told me that he has no second thoughts whatever. He said that being in the situation he's in now, being in jail, because of the stand that he took, is worth the price from his point of view. He's a very passionate, enthusiastic young man whose spirits are, he's in good shape psychologically. And, we're hoping that he'll get out, get time served or something. We don't know what's going to happen with him. But he has a lot to say. He's articulate. And he's strongly opposed to this war. He didn't go up there just because of his personal beliefs. He grew to oppose the war, and he doesn't believe in what we're doing in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we're wishing him the best right now.
And how old is he?
You know, I don't know how old he is.
He's a young man. He's a young man. He to me sounds like a hero to me. And someone in his case is going to be facing, you know, you're very optimistic, and that's mm-hmm. great, Buff, mm-hmm. but we know that there's been cases where people over time suffer from being jailed, from the ongoing stress. And I just wonder what kind of support that Robin Long needs right now. I mean, can people write him?
Absolutely. The best way to get in touch with him is to go to our website, www.couragetoresist.org, where people can find out how to write to Robin. He could use books. He can use a little bit of money for personal items. He loves to read. He loves getting letters. He just loves getting letters. I talked to him the other day, and he just gotten a 3-page letter from a woman in South Carolina, I think, and he was so excited about
having it. It makes a difference, so he's not feeling alone.
It makes a huge difference to know. He told me also that he said he talked to some of his friends in Canada, and he said that there are now 6 people in Nelson, Ontario, where he lived, who are sporting tattoos that say "Free Robin Long." So,
and that's going to keep him going. I tell you, most Americans are opposed to this war, and they're wondering what to do. There's no large marches happening, but what's happening is these young men and women taking the stand.
This is a very concrete thing people can do. They can also send money to Courage to Resist to help pay for Robin's defense as well. So, so there's a way to do something very concrete to move the resistance forward.
And,
you know?
And we'll be keeping. I mean, we had Robin Long on from Canada, now we're having you, Buff, and we'll be continuing to cover not only his story, but the story of the resistors that are in Canada. So thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here, Amy. Thanks.
Buff Whitman Bradley with the organization Courage to Resist.